the scripture reading for the sermon is, "But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, 'When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case.' Then he gave the orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, 'Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you.' At the same time, he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison."
All right. Is the mic on? Is that working? Okay. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a friend to sinners. Lord, we heard this morning that we do deserve the wrath that Nineveh got, and yet you chose to befriend us and save us. And we do thank you for that. We thank you for giving us your righteousness, for loving us. Lord, we pray now that you would show us how much you love us through your word and encourage us and convict us, Lord, and heal us with your grace. We pray that your Holy Spirit, who's in all of us who are believers and who wrote this word, pray that your Spirit would help us to understand it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I grew up in Brookhaven. If you know where that is, South Mississippi, about an hour south of Jackson. And there's a restaurant there called Broma's Deli. It's a lot like McAllister's. It's kind of a ripoff of McAllister's. I have a lot of the same sandwiches. That was my second job that I ever had, and I worked in the back making sandwiches. And our manager was also the owner, and he owned several restaurants. And no matter what was going on, if we were extremely busy or if we were just really slow, the manager always expected us to be working. So when it was slow, we would be leaning on the counters and just talking, not really doing anything. And he would come back and see us, and he would just yell, "If you're leaning, you're cleaning." And so we knew, no matter what the circumstance was, we needed to be working. We needed to be doing something to support the restaurant. That owner / manager had a mission in mind for his restaurant. And everybody in that restaurant that worked there that was on the clock had a mission. And that mission was to support the restaurant, to support its success, to do what they could to have the restaurant be a success. And so that either meant making food or cleaning, trying to make it a better restaurant. But everybody that was working there had a mission. And no matter what the circumstances was, whether it was fast, busy, or if it was really slow, everybody had a mission, and everybody had to be carrying out that mission. We as believers have a mission. God's told us over and over in his word what our mission is, to make disciples. At the beginning of this book, Acts 1:8 says that we'll be witnesses for him, locally and to the ends of the earth. The confession says to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's our mission. So our mission is to be witnesses of God's glory in Jesus Christ, wherever we are, no matter what our circumstances are. Kind of like my boss said, if you're leaning, you're cleaning. If you're a believer and you're alive, you have a mission. You're to carry it out no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances are. And we see in our passage, we see that we can do that. We can be content in that mission. Wherever God has us, we can be content with our circumstances because God orchestrates our circumstances. And two, we can be bold in that mission, because God is with us in our mission. So before we get into this passage, I feel like we need to give a little bit of background on what happened to get Paul to this point. So Paul, And we'll start in chapter 21. You don't have to flip there. I'll just kind of walk through it. But in chapter 21, Paul is going to Jerusalem. He wants to go to Jerusalem because he's been going around to all these Gentile churches collecting money for the poor believers in Jerusalem. And so in chapter 21, he's about to go to Jerusalem. And people start warning him, saying, Paul, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem. People hate you there. Bad things are going to happen there. He even has two warnings from the Holy Spirit that say, Paul, bad things are going to happen there. And Paul tells the people, what are you doing breaking my heart? He says, I'm willing to die for the name of Christ. And so, despite the warnings, even James, who was kind of the head of the Jerusalem church, despite the warnings of James even, Paul goes to Jerusalem. He carries this gift to Jerusalem. They send some people with him, kind of as a protection from the Jews. Anyway, Paul's in the temple. He's offering sacrifices or he's purifying himself or something. And Jews spot him, and they recognize him. And they drag him out of the temple and start beating him with the intention of killing him. And so they're sitting there beating him. And this Roman tribune is there, and he sees it, and he's wondering what's going on. He runs over and stops them from beating him. He thinks Paul is this Jewish soldier or this Jewish guy who's leading a rebellion against the Roman Empire. And so he arrests Paul because he thinks he's an Egyptian who's leading this rebellion against the empire. And he arrests Paul, and Paul says, look, I'm not who you think I am. And so the Roman tribune, whose name is Lysias, by the way, remember that name, Lysias, comes up in our passage. Lysias saves him, and Paul says, let me speak to this crowd, the crowd that you just saved me from. Let me turn around and speak to them. And so he lets them. And Paul shares his testimony, talks about how he was saved, and he talks about his calling to the Gentiles. And everything's fine up until he gets to his calling to the Gentiles, to go spread the gospel to the Gentiles. And once he says that, the Jews lose it again, and they try to kill him again. So Lysias, this Roman tribune, comes in again and saves him and takes him out of there because he knows that Paul's going to die. And so while Paul's in custody of the Roman tribune, of Lysias, the Jews come up with a plot to kill Paul. 40 Jews say that they're not going to eat or drink until Paul is dead. They wanted Paul dead. They hated him. And so they have this plot to murder Paul. Lysias finds out about it, and he sends a letter to Felix, who is in our passage tonight. He sends a letter to Felix saying, look, I found no reason for this guy to be imprisoned or be put to death, but the Jews are calling for that, so I'm sending him to you because if he stays here, he's going to die. And so Lysias sends him to Felix, who is a governor in Caesarea. And so in chapter 24, Paul gives his defense. He kind of declares his innocence. And he declares his innocence. He's before Felix. And Felix, if we look at our passage, we'll read our passage again. So Paul is before Felix. He gives his defense. And then this is what happens. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, it's Christianity, put them off, saying, when Lysias, the tribune, comes down, I will decide your case. And he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who is Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about the faith in Jesus Christ. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. So all this bad stuff is happening to Paul. He's on his mission. He's on the mission that God called him on. This bad stuff is happening, and he goes before Felix, and Felix is this guy who is obviously greedy. He's looking for bribes from Paul. He's corrupt. He's not a good guy. His wife Drusilla here, she was a Jew, and he convinced her to divorce her husband to marry him. and she was like his second or third wife. Felix was not a good guy. He was selfish. He was also in some hot water with the Jews at the time. There was some kind of conflict before this happened where the Gentiles and the Jews were angry at each other. There was some kind of conflict, and Felix, as the governor, sided with the Gentiles. And so the Jews were angry with them. So Felix says, all right, Paul, I'll wait to hear from Lysias before I decide your case. But if you remember, Lysias had already sent Felix a letter saying that he found no guilt. It's in chapter 29. It says he was charged with nothing deserving death or imprisonment. So Felix has already heard from Lysias. Felix knows the truth. He knows that Paul's innocent, but he wants to keep him in custody for a possible bribe, for selfish gain, for political reasons. So Paul is stuck here. He's stuck here for 2 years. What do you think about that? 2 years. Where were you 2 years ago? Grace Ann and I had just moved here. We didn't know most of you. Sophie wasn't even a thought. That's our daughter, by the way, if you don't know. So 2 years is a long time. Paul was called on a mission, and here he is stuck in Caesarea unjustly for 2 years. Can you imagine what he was feeling? He is the Apostle Paul. Yeah, I'm sure he was thinking, Lord, I need to be out planting churches. I need to be out discipling people. But he's stuck here for 2 years. But God had a plan. God's pace and place for Paul's life was perfect. God's timing and his location for Paul was perfect. That's exactly where he had called Paul in that moment for those 2 years. I mean, we see God's plan continuing. If we continued on in 25, Felix is replaced by Festus. It's the next governor. And Festus also wants to do the Jews a favor. And so he tries to send Paul back to Jerusalem to be tried there. And Paul knows that people in Jerusalem hate him, right? Remember, they tried to kill him. They hated him. And so he doesn't want to go back to Jerusalem. And so he appeals to Caesar. So Paul appeals to Caesar. He goes before King Agrippa, makes his defense. Agrippa says, yeah, this guy would have been innocent. If he had not appealed to Caesar, y'all could have let him go. But he's appealed to Caesar, so now he needs to go to Rome. So Paul journeys to Rome on a ship. You know the story. He's shipwrecked on this island called Malta. 270 men are on that ship, and Paul is witnessing to them. None of those men died because of the goodness of God that Paul had been testifying about. None of those men died. The natives on the island, remember Paul was snake bit, and they thought he was going to die, and he didn't. They got to witness the goodness of God that Paul was witnessing to them about. And then he ends up in Rome in chapter 28, and he calls all the Jews there together, all the Jewish leaders together, and shares his testimony again, and some of them are saved. Some of them aren't. Some of them are saved. If we looked at Romans 1, Romans was written before all this happened. Romans 1, Paul says, I pray that I'll come see you, you Romans. I pray that I'll get to come see you somehow. This is God's answer to that prayer. God is orchestrating Paul's circumstances for his glory and for Paul's good. So God is in control of our circumstances, and our mission applies no matter what our circumstances are. So I told you I grew up in Brookhaven. I went to First Baptist Church there for a little while, and there was this huge tapestry. If you don't know what a tapestry is, it's kind of like, I guess it's like a carpet, would y'all say, a carpet? It's an image kind of made out of carpet, and it's woven together. There's this huge, and still there, it's like 24 feet by 26 feet tall. And it's behind the baptistry, kind of behind the pulpit. And when I first started going there, I was supposed to go to choir. And on the way there, this other kid, he was like, hey, come here. And so we went and explored the church while we were supposed to be at choir. But during that time, we went behind the pulpit to the baptistry, and I remember looking at that huge tapestry from the front and seeing it's Jesus in the garden praying. But I remember pulling that tapestry back and looking at the back of it. And it was just this jumbled mess of threads and yarn. And if you had just looked at the back of that, you couldn't have told what was on the front. You couldn't have told what image that was making. God's plan is like that. He is weaving this beautiful tapestry of His glory and our good. But we can only see the jumbled mess side. We can't get the whole picture. We don't have that whole picture. But we have to trust that God is weaving that beautiful tapestry. And where He has us now is where He's called us. Our circumstances now are a part of that beautiful plan that He's weaving. Just like Paul stuck here for 2 years, but you know what? He was able to witness to Felix. He was able to witness to Felix and his wife over and over again. Now tell him who was in the room while he was witnessing to them. And then throughout Paul's journey to Rome, people were saved. God was glorified. So whatever circumstances you're in right now, just trusting that God is using your circumstances to weave this beautiful pattern of His glory and your good can bring contentment where you are. You ever daydream about some time in the future? I was talking to a high schooler the other day, and he was saying he just couldn't wait till he got to college. A lot of us are like that. We can't wait till the next phase of life. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's a different job. Maybe it's having kids. Maybe it's being married. Maybe it's when you get to junior high. We don't know. Maybe it's when you get grandkids. We kind of fantasize and we daydream about how we want to be in a different situation, different circumstances. Or maybe we look back at a time when things were really good and we long to be back there. Well, guess what? God has called you to this place in your life with your circumstances, and He's called you to be on your mission there with those people that you're surrounded by. So trusting that can bring contentment in our circumstances. And really, discontentment distracts us from our mission, doesn't it? If we're constantly thinking about the future, where we want to be, and we're not in the here and now, then we're not going to be carrying out our mission. So God's orchestrating our circumstances can allow us to be content in our circumstances now and carry out our mission. So we can do that, and we can also be bold in our mission because God is present with us in those circumstances. As I already said, Felix was a horrible guy. He was just known for being corrupt. Again, he made Drusilla divorce her husband to marry him. The Roman Empire was not a bastion of righteousness and self-control. They were hedonists. I mean, whatever gave them pleasure, they did. And he would have fit right into that. Yet, Paul boldly proclaimed the whole gospel to him. And it's because God was present with him. Look at Paul's message in verses 24 and 25. So Paul's before Felix, this guy who kind of has his fate in his hands, right? Felix has Paul's fate in his hands. He's the governor. He says whether Paul goes to prison or not, whether he frees him or not. So Felix has Paul's fate in his hands, and this is what Paul does. After some days, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who is Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." So Paul's message was the whole gospel. It's faith in Jesus Christ. He talked about righteousness and self-control, two things that Felix did not have. And then he talked about the coming judgment. He talked about the judgment of God to this guy who could send him to prison for the rest of his life. Paul was bold in proclaiming the gospel. He was bold in his mission where God had called him. The reason why is because we know in Paul's own words, Romans 8, 38 and 39, nothing can separate us from the love of God, not rulers or powers, not death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not Felix. And if you look, Felix, it says Felix's response to the gospel was that he was alarmed. He sent Paul away. That word alarmed, every other time it's used in the New Testament, it's translated terrified. Paul was preaching the gospel. The gospel was scaring Felix. Paul was bold in his message. He was preaching the true gospel. Paul knows that God's not going to assign him a mission and call him to a place and just hang him out to dry. Paul knows that God is going to be with him in his mission, and so he can be bold. He knows that Christ has died for him, and if Christ dies for you, he's not going to leave you. Christ dies for you. He's not just going to let you flounder by yourself out there in your mission. He's going to be there with you, helping you, sustaining you. That doesn't mean there's going to be physical safety. I mean, look at the apostles. They all pretty much were martyred. But Christ gives something that no man can take away. He gives eternal security. And Paul knows that, and that's why he can have boldness. We're often cowards when it comes to witnessing, comes to sharing the gospel. And it's because we really think that people have power over us. Just like it seemed like Felix had power over Paul, but really Paul knew that Felix was a puppet doing the will of God. Felix was actually in the hands of God. Paul knew that he himself was in the hands of God. So we're often cowards when it comes to witnessing because we feel like somebody has power over us. They can make us feel bad. They can make us feel ashamed. They can make us feel embarrassed. They can make fun of us. They can leave us out of groups. But we have to remember that God is faithful to us. He died for us. And he's called us to a mission. He's not going to leave us hanging out to dry. God has called us to a certain place, and with a certain mission. And we can be faithful to that. We can be bold in that because he is with us. My grandfather was in the Army. He retired in the Army. He was probably like 20, 25 years in the Army. He retired. But I asked my mom the other day, I said, how often were y'all stationed in a new place? And she said they were stationed in Germany 3 times, in New Jersey twice, in Hawaii, Virginia, Tennessee, and a couple other places. It was like 10 or 11 places total before she graduated high school. They were stationed around all these different places. It was because the Army, they have a mission. Their mission is to fight and win America's battles, America's wars, and I would say even probably prevent wars. They had a mission, and they had the big picture, and so they assigned people to where they thought it would best serve that mission. They thought my grandfather would best fit into the Army's overall mission by sending him to Germany 3 times, by sending him to Hawaii. So they sent them all over the place, because they had the big picture view and they thought they knew what would serve the Army best. God assigns us a location. He assigns us a time here in our lives right now. He has assigned us our circumstances. He's assigned us our location. And God actually does, the Army doesn't have all the information they need. They can't make the right informed decision all the time. Our God can. He knows the picture on the front of the tapestry. He knows what he's doing. And he's called us to where we are right now, to be faithful, to carry out the mission, to glorify him in Christ. So we have a God who has the big picture. He's orchestrating our pace and our place in life right now. He promises to never leave us. So let's go wherever we are, whatever your circumstances are, glorify God in them. Be bold in it. Christ is with you. He's not going to let you out of his hands. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, even with people like Felix, who seem to have some power over us, Lord, we pray that you would help us to see that you are all-powerful and that you're never going to let us out of your hands. Lord, we pray that you would give us boldness, even as Paul prayed, that you would give us boldness to preach the whole gospel. Lord, whatever circumstances we're in, pray that you'd give us contentment, that you'd help us to be faithful to the mission that you called us to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.